So, Hare Krishna, I wish you a wonderful second day of your retreat. I hope you have all been able to digest the first day quite nicely. But I have, of course, also noted that some of you are going through their, let me say, their internal questioning. See, a retreat, as we mentioned in the beginning, where we really all of a sudden focus exclusively on spiritual practices, also moves us inside. And as we are moved, things which are there come up, pleasant things, but also unpleasant things. We are confronted both with our spiritual state. Where are we actually? We find out, actually, I don't like chanting. Actually, I don't like the association of devotees. I rather stay in my own bathroom than share it with 50 other enthusiastic people, and so on. All these things are natural, and I request you to go back to your retreat guidelines, which are which we have called boldly the pillars of the success. There is a point where we speak about taking full responsibility for your own experience. In other words, where you understand this, whatever comes up, is a subtle and sometimes a quite obvious hint given to me from above, so that my road becomes more clear to me, my path becomes more clear. I have found out in my own spiritual life, it is not good to look away from that which is there. It is better to look, what is there, what is my state, and then purify, or let us say, look at it from the perspective of Krishna consciousness, where you usually will gain an entirely different perspective to your inner, I only know I was too long in America, your inner stuff, so stuff, what is inside of you. When you look with a new perspective with Krishna consciousness on it, it looks different, and it if you can maintain a Krishna conscious perspective, it dissolves after some time. It's no longer a problem. It's no longer there. So I can guarantee you all will come to this. Maybe some of you will come to this after this lecture, where you will see a little bit more clear what is your present state of advancement. Don't look away, don't run away, don't react in a moody way. Moody means, oh, there's something which is not so pleasant, I don't like it, and therefore I don't like the whole retreat, or I don't like Satchinandan Swami. You, actually, by the way, you can dislike me, that's all right. that's all right. I make sure I have the sympathy of Prahladananda Maharaj, and then I can go through life unharmed. Speaking about Prahladananda Maharaj, he is only here for a very brief period, I'm constantly I'm challenged by this when more qualified devotees are there, and I'm there giving my little retreat, which is very German-like organized. You know, everything clung, then this clung, then that clung, and so. But we have an optional class by Prahladananda Maharaj. It's the only class which he will be able to give, because I understand tomorrow you are leaving. This optional class will be given from 5 to 6 o'clock in the community hall, 5 to 6 o'clock. We know there is an optional japa session going on, but we will have to put that optional japa session under a tree somewhere in Radhadesh where it will be given. Gaurahari, you will have to look for a tree. I hope this is proper English. Rasamanama looks at me. A tree is, I don't mean like a dog goes to a tree, you know. I hope it's all right, the English. Yes, so it will be a very romantic, not romantic. Please don't laugh. Be serious. It's a retreat. it will be a very congenial atmosphere. So, but Maharaj will give his class on the holy name from 5 to 6 o'clock, and I request you to attend in big numbers because it's really very, very valuable to hear from older devotees about their perspective, their realization, and so on. It will enrich your practice very much. I'm also intending to come there. I just have to check. There were some interviews planned, and if I can, I might be a little late, but I will be also coming. So it's very, this is our only opportunity, and Hare Krishna. But my main point, these were announcements, they are important also, but please don't worry. This retreat is made in a way, it is designed in a way to take you on a journey to everything in your personality. There are some very powerful things in there which facilitate such an experience. So it is all right if you are reflecting deeply about your life. It is all right, it is intended if you feel the inner rebel, oh no, I don't like this, and that coming out. All this has to come out. You know, if you clean a room, then you will see the dust under the bed, which you never cared about your whole life. And you think, oh, so dirty here. And you will see that. It's normal, it's good. And it's desired so that you clean under your bed. Hare Krishna. So I wish you a wonderful second day of the retreat. Hare Krishna. And some of you need more sleep. I can see that. Jaya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi. Gopi Dana Vallava Giri Varadhani. Gopi Dana Vallava Giri Varadhani. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yasoda Yamunatiravana chari. Yamunatiravana chari. Nidaya dhadha madhava kunya vihadi. Nidaya dhadha madhava kunya vihadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare
que sana. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Chila Prabhupada. Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radhe.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravraja Kacharya Astato Satasi Simati Stivayangre Sila Abhe Charanaravinda Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke the first verse of the Shikshastakam to his devotees, Swarup Damoda and Ramananda Roy, he felt great bliss. The Bengali word is Harshe. Harshe means he was full of jubilation. But after what was finished with his first verse, he had recited the first verse to the end. It is said that Vishada and Dainya arose in him. Vishada means something which some of you do in the retreat, lamentation. But a little bit lamentation which arises due to seeing one's own imperfection. So during the Mahaprabhu felt this emotion, which some of us can maybe identify when we look at our present state of Krishna conscious realization and so on. It's a Vishada. Vishada is one mood which also passes. It is described to be a passing mood in the psychology. It comes and goes, but he is full of lamentation and deep dindya. Dindya is translated here as humility. It has the connotation of feeling wretched, wretched, durch und durch verdorben, sagt man in Deutsch. You know. I think the German sometimes carries a stronger impact than the English. Verdorben, you know, this is the word. Verrucht, that's another word for this. Yes, so it makes you feel extremely humble, this feeling, because you really feel you are not worth anything, and it's a disconcerting feeling. So these two feelings, lamentation and a feeling of dainya, awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then in this mood, and you might ask, well, why does the Lord, after feeling jubilation about the ecstasies of chanting Hare Krishna, feels now distressed? He should continue in that upbeat mood. But no, he now goes into a state of lamentation, because, as we will see, he taking on the role of a conditioned soul, confronts his own, I can't say this about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he speaks about having no taste, although there is such a blessing over the chanting of Hare Krishna. He dislikes chanting. That's what he expresses. So he laments and is feeling very wretched about it. So let us read the verse now. I think you all know the verse very well. Nam nam akari bahuda niyasavasya. It's a beautiful melody. Can someone help me, please? That's Prashanta school. Yes, we can, but we can take that also. Nam nam akari bahuda niyasaravashaktis. Tata pitani me amitas madane nakala eta drishita vakripa bhagavan mamapi do devam idrishami hajanina nuraga. My Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expresses, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity. And therefore you have many names, such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested all your potencies in those names. And there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen and conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. Anuraga, no attachment. This verse has clearly two sections in it. In the first half, the glorification of the holy name continues. It says everyone on his spiritual path has different desires and therefore likes to approach a particular manifestation of the Lord. For instance, those who wish to engage their senses in his service. I think we like to do this. We like to eat prasadam with our tongue. We like to sing with our mouth. We like to engage our body in various activities like dancing. We like to address the Lord maybe as Govinda, the Lord of our senses, or Hrishikesha. So someone has this desire. But there may be a yogi who likes to see Krishna in a different way, maybe as the Lord in the heart. Or as he might call him, Achyuta, the unfallable, who never comes under the influence of matter, a problem which a yogi faces, who sometimes is tempted with sensual desires. So people have various desires, and they like to address the Lord like this. I, at this particular moment, like the name Bhakta Vatsala very much, because it means Krishna is the friend of his devotees, and I need a lot of friendship because I'm very fallen at the moment. Or I like even more, I read one verse, I like Dina Bandhu, the the Bandhu, the friend of the very fallen people. I like to remember this name at the present moment. So there are many names which Krishna has in his mercy. And I can assure you, if you go deep in your spiritual life, you will find a name which you like very much. Of course, Bilva Mangala Thakur says, the best name is Krishna. And do you know why he singles out that name as the best? Because he says Krishna can love of God, can give prema even to the bushes and the trees. Because he is so attractive. Actually, Jiva Goswami also singles out that name, and that Krishna is the best name, and so does the Vishnu Sahasranam, a book which contains the 1,000 names of God. But yes, many people have various desires, and our Lord is a truly interreligious Lord. He is there for everyone. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, another advantage of chanting is, first of all, there are many names, so everyone on whatever level he is can approach God and can approach Krishna. Then he makes a second point. No matter what are your circumstances, Namalaya, you can take the name. It's very interesting. He uses the word nama smarane. That means you can remember the name. It means even if you are in your, let us say, in modern, in old language, even if you are in a bullock cart and it's a little dumpy and rumpy and on the road, boom, 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 and you may not be able to hold your pair of cattles and do kirtan because on your bullock cart is a tough riding, you can remember Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 and so on. Or in modern terms, maybe you're in the university, or you are in your job in the office, or you are dying. Whatever is your external circumstance, you can think of Krishna, remember Krishna's name, and do nama smarane. You can remember the name, which is one of the particulars of japa. Good japa means you speak the name quite softly. Lagu Uchate means, according to Rupa Goswami, that's how you chant softly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And put your mind to the practice and Artachintaye. You should think about the depthness of the mantra, about the meaning of the mantra. And in this way, you remember the Lord. There's a japa chanting. We are taught in our movement, which is a Sankirtan movement, to chant, and most of us chant quite loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And that's also very, very good, because whatever helps you to chant best, that is very acceptable and very good. But I wanted to say, Nam Smarane is the word which Lord Chaitanya uses here. Smarane means in remembering. There are no hard and fast rules. You can do it anywhere and everywhere. Anywhere and everywhere. Even in the bathroom, Vyat Mahaprabhu is instructing. Anywhere and everywhere. So there are no hard and fast rules. So by now you and then a third adjective, a third property of the holy name is made, given. Krishna, you have invested all your potencies in these names. These names are strong. They work. They have power, atom bomb-like power, as we will soon as we hear. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, a verse from the Skanda Purana is cited. It's a famous verse which Bhaktivinoda Thakur also includes in his Bhajan Rahasya. And there, this verse talks about shaktis, potency, energy, spiritual strength, from where you can normally get it. It says, the verse says, the devatas, means demigods, and the great souls have placed potencies in auspicious activities like charity. When you give Lakshmi, while giving Lakshmi, you will feel some strength coming into you. Has any one of you ever given donations? I mean, of course you have. Have you felt after giving a donation how you feel? You feel good about it. Well, there are two things. One could be an ego goodness. Well, I'm really charitable. But let us put that aside for a moment. It can happen that we feel like this. But if let us put that aside, there is some shakti in giving charity or dan, which is put there by the great souls and the devatas. Or, you know, like when you do a vow, like fasting, have some of you done fasting? Ananda Vardhan has done for whole months, isn't it? Yes. Whole months of fasting, Ananda Vardhan said. And I could see, as Ananda Vardhan was fasting for a whole month, my God, was this much. He developed shaktis, energies. Have you seen when you done fasting for some time? Maybe Prahlad Ananda Maharaj, you have done also fasting, I think. We all have done. Remember, there was a time when in ISKCON it was a fad to fast the whole Ekadasi and go through the night. And we could feel in the morning, laser eyes, you know, and so on. There is shakti in these activities. And I don't just mean that you become slimmer and therefore a little bit more active in your mind, more vata. No, I just mean strong abilities. That's why it's done in many traditions, also spiritual traditions, to do these vratas, because it gives you shakti. There's a vrata, Kartik vrata, which you do in the months of Kartik, and when you have gone through the months, it's really, you feel the fall coming into you, and you go like, and people who see you say, my God, they become speechless as they look at you, because there is some shakti now moving in you, which is there. Austerities, tapas, give you shakti. This is even known in many circles. And pilgrimage gives you shakti. It is said, when someone makes the decision to go on pilgrimage, all the sins come up and move into his hair. They want to hide, because now the feet will go through sacred places of pilgrimage where the great souls have gone. Therefore, a pilgrim who wants to be free of the sins shaves his hair in the outset, in the beginning of a pilgrimage. He doesn't want to carry all this which has taken shelter up here with him. Hare Krishna. This is in some Sanskrit book, some pilgrimage manual. I just used this as an example to say, I don't know if it's true or not true in Gaudiya Vaishnav circles. I want to give an example how it is known that if you do things like Tirtha Yatra and so on, you will get some Shakti, and the sinful reactions which give you so much problems will go. So there are other activities, sacrifices, but I don't think you will be able to do the Rajasuya and Ashwamedha sacrifice. We are poor Hare Krishnas, no money. And the culture of knowledge, yes, in the Bhaktivedanta College, I think some of you are culturing knowledge. This will give you Shakti. And this Shakti can be such that it destroys the previous sins and their reactions, and so on. Now Krishna, or the verse continues, the Supreme Lord Hari has gathered all these potencies and placed them in his own holy names. That's why those who have taken shelter in the holy name feel there is no need for me to give charity, to do vows like fasting, to do many austerities. There is not even any need to go on pilgrimage if I chant the holy name. I can stay and just chant, because all the Shaktis which I might like to collect from these activities have been gathered from these different wonderful and auspicious acts and placed by Krishna personally into his holy names, so that if you chant, you will get a lot of spiritual benefit. This is the idea of this verse. Sarva Shaktis means all the energies have been placed in your holy name. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should continue his ecstatic, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu up till now has praised ecstatically the holy name, but now his mood changes. He goes into a spiritual mood swing, you could say, but that's in English. I don't know exactly what this means in English, so let me say, he takes on a different mood. I think this sounds more correct. And great vishada, lamentation, and the feeling of being wretched comes over him. He has made a thesis up till now. He has talked about the power of the holy name. Now comes a different, a doubt. He says, while other, and I think this is such a doubt which all of us might have, while others may experience the wonderful effects of Harinam Sankirtan, he feels unfortunate because his experience is different. He doesn't feel that I'm freed from all sins, that I'm full with Shaktis of different kinds. He doesn't feel I have been submerged in an ocean of bliss. He feels different, and it is disconcerting for him. He wants to find out, why do I not feel these results? What is wrong here? And in his analysis, he comes to this point, anuraga, I really have no love for the holy name, if I'm honest. No love, no attachment, nothing. And then he, the so let me discuss this a little bit in this discovery lecture. Why do we also have this, Vini? Do you also sometimes have this? I must tell you, I sometimes feel so out of place in the Hare Krishna movement. Everyone looks so happy except for me. Sometimes I feel these are just empty promises which are told. And I doubt that I ever will become a blissful devotee like Prahlad Ananda Maharaj. I doubt this severely. And not only I doubt this subjectively, I doubt this objectively. Look at how many frustrated Hare Krishnas have left the movement. 90%, the figures say. Doesn't work. It's objectively doesn't work. It's, by the way, subjectively also not. Mahaprabhu addresses this point now. A very honest point. Very self-searching point, very critical point, a very disconcerting point. So this, of course, is one of the, this is now a serious point. It has to be addressed. Now I would, why is this, there is something which is told to be so powerful. But even the founder of the Hare Krishna movement puts a question mark on it. Does it really work? He says he has no attachment and he suffers. I have the profound satisfaction of having grabbed the attention of my audience. I would now like to answer this question because Mahaprabhu has already giving a word. He says, because of misfortune, the word is durdevam, I lack attachment. What is this misfortune, we should ask? Now, I would like to answer this question, what is this misfortune which keeps the results from coming? What is it? And then, more important even, how can we solve it? How can we cure it? How can we? What can we do against it? And I would like to answer this from the perspective of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his book Madhuya Kadambini. There he says the reason to having no taste is aparadas, which makes one averse to bhajan, which makes one dislike it. And he gives an example which I find so relevant. If you have a heavy fever, he says, it makes you averse to eating even nourishing food. I had this yesterday, now I'm seem to be out of it due to Nimai's perfect medicine. But I remember I was sweating the whole night. I couldn't sleep. I changed 5 shirts. I was just boiling the body with a fever. And there was this very nice food. I had Knäckebrot from Switzerland. You know, that's a particular food and everything. And I had no inclination to eat it, which is very unusual for me. I can eat it day and night, it's so good, but I had no inclination any longer. Because the how unfortunate, there is nourishing food. The patient may need even food. However, thank you. However, there's something from keeping him from eating it. Or another example, the patient may die from lack of water, but he can't drink. He vomits when he drinks water. this is a serious problem. This fever is a serious problem which cannot, which keeps you from taking the medicine. There are certain fevers which keep you from taking the medicine. And this is one, the fever of aparat, the fever of these worldly activities which make us disinclined to Krishna consciousness. We know by chanting we could become blissful, ecstatic devotees, but because our life is so unfortunate, dodevam, we just dislike it. Vishwanath Chakravarti gives a few verses now. He drives home the point. He says, hearing and chanting the names quickly gives one prema according to the scriptures. But we hear and chant and we don't get prema. Why not? Then he again says, Lord, the Bhagavatam said, Lord Hari is captured by someone who simply desires to hear. This is how Prabhupada interprets the second verse. Simply the desire to hear about Krishna already brings some relief in your heart and Krishna becomes attracted. And it says, residing for a day in Mathura, Vrindavan gives you love. It also says, taking the Lord's remnants quickly removes Maya. We do all this. But we are still in Maya. We don't have love of Krishna. And we don't have captured the Lord Hari in our heart. The Padma Purana asks a question with both fear and astonishment. O best of the Brahmanas, O best of the Hare Krishna devotees, what are those aparadas to the holy name that destroy all the good an offender has done and make him take transcendental things to be mundane? Do you also have this sometimes? That you practice and then you think the whole Hare Krishna movement is mundane? Have you seen it? Seen this? This chanting. Look at this. They're jumping. Yes, this is suppressed sexual energy which lets them move up and down, you know. Have you sometimes this perspective? Maybe you are not as bad as me. I think no one can be as bad as, I mean, I'm also not the worstest, but I'm pretty close, and so on. I could tell you some offenses. You would not believe that they come out of the mouth of your seminar or retreat person, but I won't do it, you know. It's enough. We are already, I have to save the lecture here, you know. My dear devotees, these are aparadas. These are things which you do which keep the result from coming. Don't think this is a clever theological explanation. Every doctor will say, take this medicine, but don't take milk products for 1 week. Otherwise the medicine doesn't work. Every healer will say, do this and it gives you result. But if you do the other thing, then it won't work. So every spiritual process tells you, do this, but you have to be careful. If you do the other thing, these apparatas, you will never ever get the result. It won't work for you. It works for others, not for you. In other words, my dear devotees, if you are serious, you should know these offenses very well. And you should proceed on your path of Krishna consciousness by avoiding them like anything. If you are full of these aparadas, or partially full of these aparadas, it's like having fever where you cannot enjoy a nourishing meal. Everyone smiles around you, eats it with two hands, but you are there, no appetite, thank you, thank you. You are slim, One can see in your face you need a nourishment. You are undernourished. Your eyes are black, but you can't eat due to the fever. What is the medicine? You must serve the holy name in a very humble state of mind. You cannot be proud. You cannot afford now to be moody. You cannot afford to be whimsical. You just have to now surrender. It's the ego from which all these apparatas come, these offenses. And this ego has to get down now from the throne. There is no other way. You have to serve the holy name. You have to serve the spiritual master. You have to come. You have to serve the Vaishnavas. Bow down, Mister. Now it is a matter of life or death. Otherwise, it won't work. We will hear more in the workshop about this medicine. My dear devotees, it's such a strong point, and it is really, really, believe me, as I'm telling you this point, I'm suffering greatly, because I know I also am Durdevam, unfortunate. I'm 40 years in this movement, and I really could lament, but yes, I feel some happiness, and yes, people say I smile a lot, but these are all muscles, you know. It just to talk about this this point makes me, as a lecturer, just feel awkward, really awkward. This unfortunate thing, you know, is really... He is the highest, and I know this, this much I know. But look at me, I'm the lowest. This is a very disconcerting thing. And my dear devotees, I will now tell you something which I will tell it at the end, because you will not believe what you hear in 2 minutes, in 3 and 4 minutes. I just want to analyze a little bit more and make us all feel very bad now. What else makes you Durdevam? We have to do this analysis. It is over in 4 minutes, don't worry. But it won't be over for a few years for some of us. These are not only aparadhas, they are also anattas. Anattas means you think something is valuable, but it is not. And it refers to spiritual weakness of all kinds. One is tucha shakti. Tucha shakti means trivial attachments. You attach to, trivial things. Tucha means very insignificant. You know, tucha means, I remember a lecture of Mahanidhi Maharaj, she made like this, tucha, tucha, tucha. But you are attached to it. It's so small. You know, your special shirt, or if you're Mataji, so that this lipstick is really the best of the lipsticks. It's insignificant, really. Or if you're a man, your workout is important to you, or you, I don't know. Kutinati is another anatta, fault finding. Remember, we have this anti-complaint rubber band. I don't know. We'll ask in the workshop how it works for you. Matsarya, envy, and pratishta, false pride. There's a whole list of what makes you Durdevam, but I will leave it with this, you know. Prabhupada writes about this point in a purport. Which I think is very, very seat-giving in Prabhupada's writing. I can only recommend it. I will tell you the reference in a moment, but first the thing. Prabhupada will tell us in this little section which I read to you, when Krishna consciousness will work and when it will not work for you. He says, while performing devotional service in the association of devotees in full Krishna consciousness, there are certain things which require to be vanquished all together. You know, certain things must go. The most important thing one has to surmount is weakness of the heart. The first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. This is the enjoying tendency. Huh? Thus, one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. And then the second weakness of the heart is that as one increases the propensity of lording it over material nature, he becomes attached to matter. Let us make it very simple. You want to enjoy, and as you come closer to, and you enjoy more and more and more, and you can't go any longer from it. The thing which you want to possess possesses you. It becomes your private, incurable obsession. Prabhupada says the problems of material existence are due to these weaknesses of the heart. Please read chapter 15, verse 20, last paragraph. There you will find this in the Gita. So, I want to now come to the close and give you some surprising news. You will not believe what you hear, therefore I might have to repeat it two times. It says that these anattas have one root from which everything grows. And this root is pratishtha. It would be nice to have a Sanskrit scholar here who can cut this word apart for us and tell us what pratishtha means. I don't know. Anyone? Pra increases whatever is next. That is with this increasing something. Yes. It says in Hari Bhakti Vilas, after renouncing all anattas, pride, their root, may still remain. One should avoid this pratishtha as if it were dirt in one's drain. So, the root of all these unpleasant things is really this pride, this pratishtha. And Maharaj has given a very nice nice insight, I wanted to say. The syllable pra, he said, increases everything to what it's next. I mean, I could try an you know, the beggar has one rupee, but his pride is next to the rupee, and he is proud of his rupee. Someone knows a little bit, and he is proud of that little bit. of his beauty, maybe, of his knowledge, of his where he comes from, you know, his genealogical origins, and so on, of his wealth, and so on. This pride, and Krishna always cuts down the pride of his devotees. That's what he does. Krishna never likes a proud devotee, and therefore, whenever you are proud, you just can't make it. And if Krishna cares for you, he sends you a lance. If he doesn't care for you, then you're really lost. So it is this ego, this proud ego we see and say in contemporary language, this pride, my dear devotees, which makes us dodevam, because it breeds all the offenses. And in the next verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will address it by saying, if you want to chant, you have to be free from this pride. You know Trinadapi verse is often quoted in our lectures. So, So now comes the surprise. My dear devotees, Krishna Das Kaviraj says, if one hears the meaning of this verse, this present verse, this lamentation verse, all the lamentation and unhappiness will disappear. Here, he says, by hearing the meaning of that verse, this Namnamakari verse, one can forget all unhappiness and lamentation. Why? My dear devotees, please listen now very carefully. What you will hear will not make sense to you if you don't concentrate. You will just think, what did I just hear? Because it's almost paradoxical. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has glorified chanting of Hare Krishna and has extolled the extraordinary results. But in the process, he started to lament his Durdevam, his misfortune. Why does Krishna Das Kaviraj say, by hearing this, all unhappiness and lamentation will go? Why, by hearing about lamentation and misfortune, will you become happy? Why? This doesn't make any sense. Listen to this very carefully. If you can understand this, my dear devotees, I can guarantee you, your life will change. If you are not afraid, if you are frank and open and not a pretender, and you can see your fallen state, you can feel, you can actually feel your, in a way, hopelessness, your state of hopelessness, then you will feel how from this feeling happiness arises and lamentation vanishes, because you have arrived at the only spot from where you can practice Krishna consciousness. That is Dainya, the mood of genuine humility. And we will, because Krishna gives his mercy to a humble soul. Therefore, have you always, have you not wondered, Narottam Das Thakur, all our charities, I'm the most fallen. Because they know the most fallen get it. But this means not you do the most fallen activities. It means you have that recognition of your fallen state. You dare to look at it. You pierce through the veil of false pride. This is so important. This now is the first level of humility which we learn here. Tomorrow comes the second level. This humility which Mahaprabhu teaches us here is a humility brought about by, the English word is remorse. Remorse, do you all know what is remorse? Remorse means, what is remorse in English? I know that remorse. Bedauern, sagt man in Deutsch, if it helps you. Remorse means, what is remorse? Feeling bad of something you have done. Yeah, you feel, you regret it. It's a regret. Bedauern, you know. We will hear tomorrow of another humility which comes from the soul, the Trinada. But here is, and I think we are all able to do this. Here is something so high, but I cannot take advantage. Oh, how regretful, wie bedauerlich, you know. That's the first stage of entering what we mean with humility. But there is a second stage which you will hear tomorrow. If you can be humble, the race is won, they say in Germany. Not with humbleness, the race is won, they say. If you can come to this level, where you can see that, where your false pride is no longer, active. Mm. Once there was, I will end this lecture, let me see. Where are we? Yes. Once there was a king who asked his priest, "What is God's constant work?" And the priest said, "God's constant work? Well, he creates the universe." "No, that he has done," said the king. "Constant work means, what is he still doing? Where is he working?" The priest said, "Let me consult my shastras. In 1 week I give you the answer." So the priest did some research, but he didn't find an answer, and he fled the country. Indian kings are quite consequential, or they are too much sometimes. So while he was running over the border, he saw one of his disciples who was a shepherd, and the disciple said, "Guru Maharaj, you're leaving?" Yes. "I don't know an answer, and our king is just so impossible. He will just punish me if I go to another kingdom. I'm a brahmana. I will get some good profession and good sabjis, and this is insecure for me." So what is the question?" said the disciple. "Well, the question is, what is God's constant work? He means what he always does." "Ah," said the disciple, let me think. And then he thought, and then I know the answer. "Let me go in your stead." So the priest said, "Okay, I wait at the neighboring kingdom for the for the situation. You can go." So the disciple went, and he said, when the appointed time was, he said to the king, "My dear king, your question is rather simple, and my Guru Maharaj thought he would be busy in important yagyas, and he has sent me to give the answer." "What?" said the king. The whole court was there to hear the answer. "You better know the answer." So the shepherd said, "Okay, I will give the answer, but there is some irregularity at your court. You have asked me a question, and I'm supposed to answer it. That means I'm higher than you, and I should sit higher than you. Get down from your throne. I will sit on your throne to give the answer." You must know, this is an Indian tradition where if you go to someone and he is always supposed to be higher than you, if you go to a guru, you have to worship him and serve him, and then you get the answer. So the king knew about this tradition, and he said, he really was boiling inside, and he said, "You better know the answer." Then he got down from his throne, sat down, and the shepherd sat up on the throne, and he said, "Do you see the answer, Majesty, or can't you see the answer?" "What do you mean?" "This is the answer. God always puts the ones who sit high down and the ones who sit low up. He always takes the humble souls and he exalts them, and he always arranges something for the pride people to pull them down. This is the constant work of God. And he did it to King Indra, the mighty king of the universe, who was angry at Krishna when Krishna diverted the sacrifices meant for him to the to Giri Govardhan. At that time Indra attacked him, and then Krishna corrected his pride. He always does it, and he did it to you today. Then he walked out, and the king got a satisfactory answer. Look in your life, my dear devotees. This is a contemporary. I told you an easy story at the end before breakfast, but this is a point which you might have seen in your life. Always when we come into the association of devotees after a long time, we feel a little discomfortable. Why? Because there's something working in us. There is something which is attacked. There's something which is brought down. It's the source of our material existence. It's this pratishtha, it's this pride, which is the origin of the weakness of the heart and which makes us think, I want to be the Lord and not Krishna. This was the second verse. I thank you very much for your attention. I'm sweating because, really believe me, this is an insight which is very, very important for you and for all of us. Let us work today in the workshop a little bit more on medicines. In the workshops, I will not talk about and further analysis of the problem. But we will talk about medicines which Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers from Bhajan Rahasya so that we can become qualified to chant the holy name in an ecstatic way. This will be the subject matter. So we have time for one question. Please, if you pose your question, no, it will be on internet, so it should be good. I will go. Well, I now am biased. Who feels he has a question which is very much to the subject matter? Out of respect, we will go to Smarahari, my god brother. Yes. Is the fee? I want to repeat it to the internet audience, by the way, I didn't greet you sufficiently. Hare Krishna, nice that you are there. Is the feeling that one is becoming free from pride and enviousness a sign of pride? Let me describe to you the word dainya as an answer to your question. What does this mean to feel free from pride? The word is of dainya is wretchedness, a feeling which makes you humble. Huh? So this feeling comes about when you see you in four ways. I remember not all of the ways, but one is when you see you have actually misused a golden opportunity. Another way this feeling of wretchedness comes is when you feel you have made an offense, really. You have really made an offense, or let me say it in contemporary English, you have blown it. That's another reason. The feeling of dainyam also comes when you feel totally incapable. And you feel hopeless at that thought. So, and there is a fourth source for this mood of dainyam. What you feel in this way, what you feel is, everyone has a use, but I don't have a use. The grass, for instance, can be used for go-seva, but I'm lower than the grass in the street. The grass can be used in the roof of a devotee, but I am of no service. This is a feeling of wretchedness. This is the feeling which is daimyam. It is so free from even that type of pride which can come, that, oh, I'm pride, that I'm without pride, you know, this deceiving thing. It's a feeling where you feel really you really feel there's something wrong with you. There's really a feeling. And listen now to this. The moment you can come to this place, real spiritual hope can work in you, can get you. It's so amazing. The more you feel there, and the high promise of Krishna consciousness seems to be more distant from you, you know, the more in another way you get it. It's an opposite movement which takes place in spiritual life. You seem to move apart, but what really happens is, oh, Krishna, Krishna, please help me. And the moment you are able to turn to Krishna like this, Krishna is very close to you. Don't you know this? You know, some of us, I heard, have had a pause in Krishna consciousness, and then you come back before the deities, and you have just, you have emptied in the last year 20 tons of whiskey into your body, you know, and so on. You're now before the deity, and you really know, yeah, you have not the highest qualifications in spiritual life. I'm exaggerating a little bit. Or you really, and you stand before the deities, or you arrive at Radha Syam Sundar's lotus feet in Vrindavan, and you see the kirtan, and you, oh, everything is so saintly, and these devotees are such saints. They try to serve, you know, and the prasadam, nectar, give me just a piece of prasadam. And from there you can get it. It's not so easy to get Krishna conscious. What? Redemption? You are redempted, or what? Yeah, you are redeemed. That's a Catholic Christian term. Yeah. Good. Thank you very much for that wonderful question. My dear devotees, this was the lecture which I call the shake-up lecture. Don't worry, and cry. That's better. But what I want to say, in the workshop, we will go to the medicines. Huh? What can we do in this situation? What can help us? I want to thank you very much. Please take your prasadam. Please use the time wisely. We will see each other at 11 o'clock in your usual punctualness in the community hall. Hare Krishna. One moment, yes.